been a great encouragement just to see the hall so well filled for the past 7 weeks, and we do appreciate all that have really supported these meetings. It's good to see folks from Newcomnock and folks from further afield, and it's really just been great just to see the way the Lord has moved over these weeks, and we've been greatly encouraged, and it's a great encouragement just to see the hall so well filled again tonight. But you know, the big issue is not really coming to meetings, is it? The big issue is really having personal dealings with the Lord Jesus. And you know, there's something difficult about a last meeting, especially after 7 weeks of meetings, and you get to know a lot of people, and you know, you really get to really have feelings for people. And you know, it's sad, you know, when we come to the end and think of the awful possibility that there's people that we've preached night after night, the awful possibility that they come to the end of a series of meetings and they're still unsaved. They've come to meetings and they've enjoyed meetings and they've sung the songs and they've learned things from the Bible, but they've never really came into that vital contact with the Lord Jesus. They've never trusted him and they remain unsaved. And you know, it is really my deep longing tonight that if you're here tonight and you're still unsaved, that you would get that vital issue resolved tonight. And that before this meeting's finished, that you would really trust the Saviour. Now, one of the things we tried to stress last night was the awfulness of remaining behind when the Lord comes. And, you know, the Lord is coming. And we just don't know when the very clouds will burst and the Lord Jesus will descend from heaven with that almighty shout. And, you know, for everyone that's saved, that's going to be a glorious day. When we're just going to be snatched away from this world and with all its sin and all its sorrows, and we're going to meet the Saviour and we're going to be with him and we're going to be like him forever. That's a glorious prospect, and I'm looking forward to that. But you know, there's just that wee bit of me tonight that says, imagine the Lord coming and me getting caught away into his presence and some of my friends being left behind for judgment. Now that's reality. That's not just emotionalism tonight. That is reality. Because if you're unsaved tonight and the Lord Jesus comes, then you're going to be left. And we're just praying tonight, in this last night of these meetings, that you would give us your attention again and listen. And we're praying that the Spirit would speak to you and that you would make a right decision tonight in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus. Because we're going to look at a man that made a wrong decision. We're going to look at Pilate tonight, the man that sentenced the Lord Jesus Christ to die. And we're going to notice that he knew all the truth. He knew the right thing to do, but he never did it. And I really feel there's folks in here tonight, and you know the right thing to do, but you haven't done it yet. You know the right decision for you to make, but you haven't made that decision yet. You're still sitting in the fence. You're still trying to weigh up all the pros and cons. What a tragedy. Because Pilate never ever got another chance. This was his last opportunity that we're going to read about tonight. And he made a fateful decision that day that sealed his destiny for all eternity. And my friend, there's just a possibility tonight that you'll make a decision tonight that will seal your doom for eternity. Because if you refuse Christ, there's no guarantee that you'll have another opportunity. There's a meeting here in the hall at 6 o'clock on Sunday night in the will of God. Stuart's the preacher, and you're welcome to come. But there's no guarantee that that meeting will ever be held, because the coming of the Lord Jesus is drawing very near. There's no sign will appear in the sky. And there's no part of the Bible needs to be fulfilled. There's no prophecy needs to be fulfilled. There's nothing to stop the Lord Jesus coming tonight. So this might just be your last opportunity. My friend, if you refuse Christ tonight, then there's just an awful possibility that you're saying no to him for the last time. And that decision that you make tonight is going to seal your doom for all eternity. But praise God, you can make another decision tonight. You can trust the Lord Jesus tonight. You can come to him just as you are in all your sin and all your need. And you can trust him. You can receive him by faith tonight. And my friend, I want to tell you, that will seal your destiny for eternity as well. It will seal your destiny for heaven. My friend, that's a glorious possibility tonight, that you can start on the road to heaven tonight. Not just because you've come to a meeting, that's not going to get you onto the road to heaven. Not just by listening to the message for the next 25 minutes, just listening to the message is not going to get you on the road to heaven. It's only trusting in the Lord Jesus. It's only receiving him by faith into your heart and life And you can do that tonight. And we're praying, and there's lots of Christians here tonight, and that's what they're praying. They're praying that every person that's here still unsaved would trust the Lord Jesus tonight and start on the road for heaven. Would you not like to leave this hall tonight knowing that come what may, it's well with your soul, you're heaven bound because you're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? That's a possibility tonight. And we are praying that that would become a reality in your life. Let's read Mark's Gospel again in chapter 15. There's a lot more detail about Pilate we find in some of the other Gospels, but we've been through Mark's Gospel since the beginning of the meeting, so I thought I would just read Mark's account, but we'll be referring to some of the other Gospels as we go through the message tonight. Mark chapter 15 and verse 1 says, "And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marvelled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil has he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, catch this little bit tonight. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, willing to please others, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. We know that God again will add a blessing to the reading of his word. I think Pilate is probably one of the saddest figures that we find in the whole of the Bible. Pilate was so near to Christ, and so near to salvation, and so near to the gates of heaven, and yet he missed his opportunity. And tonight he's languishing in the pit of hell. Pilate saw the tender eyes of Christ. Pilate listened to the gracious words of Christ. Pilate witnessed that unique dignity that was the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus is alone. He witnessed all that, and he knew what was right. And yet he wasn't prepared to act according to his own conscience. He listened to the voice of the crowd, and he sentenced Christ to die. How tragic. How sad. We're going to look at him tonight. We're going to think of his dilemma. Pilate really was faced with a dilemma. Pilate knew that before the sun set this particular day, he had no option but to make a decision in relation to Jesus Christ. He knew there was no escape. The Lord Jesus Christ was standing, staring him straight in the face, and the crowd were crying for his blood. And Pilate knew that before that day ended, he would need to make a personal decision about what he was going to do with Jesus. That's just like you tonight. We emphasised that in the preaching last night, and we're going to emphasise it tonight, my friend, that before this meeting's finished, you're going to have to make a decision about the Lord Jesus. It's good to see you at the meeting tonight. You're in a very privileged position tonight just to listen to the sound of the gospel. There's some of you here tonight and you've heard it almost every night for 7 weeks. Do you realise there's people in darkest India and darkest Africa that have never... What a privilege to hear the gospel. What a privilege to sit in a meeting like this in absolute quietness and to hear the Word of God read and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. What a privilege. Well, my friend, what a responsibility. What a responsibility. It's a big responsibility in my shoulders today. And there's been a big responsibility in my shoulders for the past 7 weeks. And my friend, I want to tell you, I felt that. A responsibility to be faithful to those that came and listened to me. Maybe some of you have thought I've been a bit too straight the night's gone past. Maybe you thought I was cutting too near the bone. My friend, I don't make any apologies for that today. I made it clear at the beginning of these meetings that I wasn't here to preach sermons. That I wasn't here just to mess about with fancy words. That I was here in business for God to confront men and women with God's truth. Because I have a responsibility. I'm answerable to God for these meetings. And my friend, you're answerable to God as well for every time you've sat and listened. It's a great responsibility. Before you're finished with the meeting tonight, my friend, you're going to have to make a decision about Jesus Christ. You see, as far as Pilate was concerned, he was the governor of the land of Palestine at that time, and he'd heard about the Lord Jesus. He'd heard about him way up there around the shores of Galilee. And he probably heard about him when he was born in Bethlehem, and he'd heard all about his movements up and down the land. But, you know, he wasn't too concerned about that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was at a distance, and it was all pretty irrelevant to Pilate. Up until this point. And it wasn't irrelevant anymore. There couldn't be anything more relevant. There couldn't be anything more real. This very day, he was confronted with a person of the Lord Jesus as he stood in the dock before him. And Pilate must make a decision now about Christ. And that's maybe just been like you over these past weeks. Oh, of course you'd heard about the Lord Jesus. Everybody's heard about him in this country. But until the last few weeks, you know, the Lord Jesus has been pretty irrelevant to your life. You've never really given him a passing thought. You knew there were certain people that called themselves Christians and they talked about being born again and being saved, but you know that didn't really bother you. But then in the strange sovereign movements of God, you found yourself in this little hall tonight, and you found yourself here in past nights, and suddenly this Jesus that you'd heard about and was away in the background somewhere is suddenly brought right to your attention. And you're faced with the reality of the Lord Jesus. And you're faced with the claims that the Lord Jesus has in your life. And you're faced with the absolute necessity of making a personal decision about him. You see, just a week before this, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ and Pilate, well, you know, Pilate didn't need to have anything to do with the Lord. He was just living his life. He was just getting on with the running of the nation. And suddenly, there he is. God to make a decision. That's just you tonight. God doesn't make any mistakes. I believe in the course of every person's life, there comes a point when the Lord Jesus Christ and his claims upon an individual's life is just brought before them. They're faced with making a decision. Pilate knew the effect that the Lord Jesus Christ had had in the lives of others. Some of the people that were actually in his employment had actually been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, changed in such a way that they'd actually given up their jobs. Think of a man called Matthew that was a tax collector, and you know he would be reporting back to Pilate somewhere along the line. You know, maybe landing in Pilate's desk one day was a letter of resignation from Levi, Matthew the tax collector. He'd given up his job to become a follower of the Lord Jesus. Pilate must have wondered, what's this all about? And then he would hear about one of his chief tax collectors down there in Jericho and how that his life had been revolutionized when he let the Lord Jesus in. And Pilate knew that this man Jesus that was standing before him, he changed people's lives. He had forgiven people's sins.
He had made such an impact on people's lives that they were prepared to leave everything just to follow him. And here he is, the same Jesus of Nazareth, and he's standing before Pilate.
Would Pilate experience the same forgiveness as others have experienced?
Would Pilate allow the Lord Jesus to change his life the way he had changed the life of Zacchaeus? Would Pilate be prepared to yield everything to the Lord?
Sadly, he didn't. He missed out on the forgiveness. He missed out on following the Lord Jesus. He missed out on that radical change that Christ makes in the lives of those that trust him. He missed out. You're in the meeting tonight, and you know the impact that the Lord Jesus has had in the lives of others. Maybe you've seen the change that the Lord Jesus has made in the lives of some of your friends. Maybe you've seen the change that he's made in some of the members of your family, and you know that they talk about forgiveness, and they talk about the peace of God, and they talk about the joy of knowing Christ, and you've seen the change in their life. There's things that they used to do that they don't do anymore, and there's places that they used to go and they don't go anymore, because they find all their joy and delight in the things of the Lord. And you've seen that. But my friend, the big thing tonight is this: are you going to experience that blessing for yourself? Are you going to allow the Lord Jesus into your heart to cleanse you from your sin? Are you going to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, to control your life, to become Lord of your life? Are you going to allow him to change you? Because I tell you, if you let the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, he will want to change you. Because our lives need change. But the big thing is, are we prepared to allow him to change us? There was Pilate, and he was faced with the dilemma that he must make a decision about the Lord Jesus. The Bible not only talks about his dilemma, but the Bible talks about his determination. We read in the Acts of the Apostles, the fifth book in the New Testament, these words in chapter 3 and verse 3, that the Jews delivered him up and denied him before Pilate, when Pilate was determined to let him go. He was determined to make the right decision about Christ, to take sides with him, to stand with Christ against the crowd. It says he was determined. He was determined to let him go, but he never. He was determined to take sides with the Lord Jesus, but he never. I think, can you get any closer than that? Tragic story, isn't it? To get so close to salvation, and yet to miss it. Maybe you've been determined. Maybe night after night, as you've listened to the message and as the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, maybe you've said, "Yes, I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Yes, I'm determined. I'm going to do it." Determination is no enough. Determination is no enough. Pilate was determined, but he never did it. Never did it. We quoted the words the other day there of Agrippa. He listened to the preaching of the Apostle Paul. He says, Paul, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded. So I'm almost there. There's some people in the meeting tonight, and that's just where they are. They're almost there. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad the bitter wail. Almost. A loss. Can you imagine what hell is like for Pilate? The thing that will haunt him forever and ever is the lovely face of the Lord Jesus. in the tender, appealing eyes of Christ as we looked into him. And Pilate will think about how so close he was. How close he was to salvation. How close he was to the Saviour. How close and how determined. And he really let the opportunity slip. He's lost. Oh, my friend, I tell you, if you miss Christ, these meetings will haunt you forever. Forever. You'll never get away from them.
Because the thing that makes the torment of hell, the torment of hell, is memory.
A man in hell in Luke chapter 16, and he says, the Lord says, son, remember your life then. My friend, you'll never forget these meetings. You'll never forget them. Never. Well, you might push them to the back of your mind as far as your little life down here is concerned, but I want to tell you, you're going to remember them for all eternity if you miss Christ. You die unsaved, you'll remember. Oh, my friend, what a memory for Pilate. Oh, what a memory. My friend, it's almost unthinkable tonight.
To think of that man in the cavern of the lost, in the pit of darkness, and there he is with no escape, and he's just thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking
of the fact that he was there because he made a wrong decision about Christ when Christ was so close. Oh, my faith, can I plead with you? To trust the Saviour. To trust him now.
Pilate tried to pass the buck, you know.
He'd already sent him to Herod. And then he cried in the crowd and says, look, what do you want to do? And what he's really saying, listen, anybody and everybody else can make a decision about Christ, but he just didn't want to get involved, My friend, the big issue tonight is not what your friend's going to do about the Saviour. The big issue is not what your mother's going to do. What your partner's going to do. My friend, the big issue is this, what are you going to do? Choose you this day whom you'll serve. It's you, it's a personal issue. And Pilate says, well, what's Herod going to do about him? Now what's the chief priests and all the soldiers going to do? And what's this mass crowd in Jerusalem? What are they going to do? And they were all baying for his blood. And Pilate's listening to all these voices. He's thinking about this one and that one and the next thing. And he feels himself getting put in a corner. Oh. And he just tried to wash his hands of the business. He took a wee basin of water. Can you imagine? He took a wee basin of water and he washed his hands. You can almost see him as he shakes the droplets of water off his hand, and he says, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just man." Was he? My friend, I want to tell you, there was none so guilty. You can't just walk away from Christ without any consequence. You can't wash your hands. You can't plead your innocence. My friend, every one of us are guilty tonight. Every one of us needs to take personal responsibility for the decision that we make in relation to the Lord Jesus. There's no escape to me. There's no passing the buck. There's no loophole that we can squiggle through. My friend, it's a personal issue tonight between you and Christ, and you've got to make a decision tonight, just like Pilate had to make a decision. What was Pilate's problem? His problem was popularity. The problem was popularity. He wanted to please the crowd. He wanted to please his superior. He wanted to please Caesar. Didn't he want to get into anybody's bad books? Didn't he want to be ill thought of? He wanted to please everybody but Christ. Maybe that's just you tonight. Maybe that's your big problem. It's popularity. And you know that just down in that community where you live, that street where you live, that place that you work, that school that you go to, you know that there's very few Christians there. In fact, maybe there's none.
And down there where you live, you're popular and you're the life and soul of the party and everything revolves you and you're at the thick of everything.
And you're thinking tonight, well, if I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be the old man out. And I'll be slighted by my friends. And they'll just call me all sorts of names and I'll become the subject of mockery. Maybe that is the cost that you'll need to pay for being a Christian. Maybe it is. But my friend, is it no worth it? To take sides with the Lord Jesus, the one that loved you enough to die for you. And the one that was raised from the dead and he's alive. He wants to save you. He wants to cleanse you from your sin. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you a hope beyond the grave. He wants to become your personal friend and your shepherd and your guide. My friend, he'll do more for you than the world can ever do. He'll do more for you than your friends will ever do. And Pilate's weighing it all up to him. They're weighing it all up. And on the one hand, here's the Saviour and all his love and all his tenderness. The one that could forgive his sins. The one that could change his life. The one that could settle his destiny for heaven. Oh, if we would only take sides with the Lord Jesus. And he knows that's the right thing to do. He's totally and absolutely convinced in his mind that it's the right thing to do. But he hears the cry of the crowd. If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Caesar's friend. Caesar, of course, was the head of the Roman Empire. Quite an influential figure. Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the universe. But that was Pilate's problem. He wanted to please the crowd. He wanted to please Caesar. He didn't want to lose his job. Maybe your problem tonight, maybe the reason you're not a Christian is because there's something you don't want to lose. Something you don't want to lose. You see, there is a price to be paid for following Christ. I would be a fool to tell you otherwise tonight. Especially since the nights gone past we've preached about discipleship, about total and absolute abandonment to the Lord Jesus, about denying self, taking up the cross, following him, making him Lord of our lives. Of course there's a price. There's a price to be paid for following Christ. My friend, there's a greater price to be paid for rejecting Christ. And it won't all be paid on the other side of this life. My friend, you reject the Saviour, and I couldn't even imagine what the rest of your life will be like. There's some of you sitting here tonight, and your life's in a bit of a mess at the moment. And you just stumble from one crisis to another crisis, from one crisis loan to another crisis loan. And life is just a round of misery. An endless round of misery and chasing and chasing and chasing. My friend, you reject the Saviour tonight, and that's not going to get any better. That's just going to get 100 times worse. And my friend, when you die in your sins, oh my friend, what a dreadful eternity. That's the price of refusing Christ. That's the price of turning your back on him tonight. Well, there might be a price to pay for receiving him. There might be a price to pay, and there will be a price to pay for following him. But my friend, whatever price it is nothing in comparison to the price that's to be paid for rejecting him. And here's Pilate, and he's faced with a decision. He turns to the crowd and says, well, what will I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They say, crucify him. We don't want him. That's what the crowd's saying tonight, isn't it? That's what the world's saying tonight. The world doesn't want the Lord Jesus. Just that the world didn't want him 2,000 years ago when he was here in bodily form. They don't want him today. He makes too many demands on people's life. He makes so many changes in people's life. People are uncomfortable with the Lord Jesus. They still don't want him. So there was the cry of the crowd. Crucify him. And the cry of his inward conscience was, take sides with him.
Pilate do what's right. You know he's the Son of God. You know the one that came down from heaven. You know that he's absolutely faultless. He's absolutely sinless. There's no reason why this man should die. He's the Son of God. Take sides with him, Pilate. That was the cry of his conscience. The cry of the conscience, the cry of the crowd. Who would win? You're listening to the cry of the crowd today, aren't you? Listen, just forget all that matters. You don't need the Lord Jesus. Your life's okay. There is no hell, there is no heaven. When we die, we're just dead, and that's the end of it. What do you need to do? What do you need to bother about becoming a Christian? That's the cry of the crowd, isn't it? But the cry of your conscience is different, isn't it? The cry of your conscience. There's that inner voice within you saying, I need the Lord Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I know that the Lord Jesus died for me on the cross. I know that the Lord Jesus is my only hope for eternity. He's the only hope for me right now in this life. I need him. You've got to make a decision today. Just as Pilate made a decision. Will you listen to the cry of the crowd today? Or will you listen to the cry of your conscience? Because the big question is this, what will you do with Jesus? Which is called the Christ. You can't remain neutral. You can't sit on the fence because there is no fence. You're either on one side or the other. You're either going to receive him tonight or you're going to reject him. You're either going to say yes to him or you're going to say no to him. There's only one person that can make that decision tonight, and it's you. I can't make the decision for you. The person that brought you, the person that invited you, the person that's sitting next to you, they can't make the decision. It's you. It's you. It's between you and the Lord, because ultimately that was all that mattered that day. It was Pilate and Christ. What would Pilate do? And he was concerned about what others would do. I think you forget about others. The issue's not others and Christ. The issue's you and Christ. What will you do with Jesus? This is called I think he loves you. And he loves you so much, as we've said already, that he gave his life on the cross. He shed his blood that your sins may be cleansed. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares for you. He wants to cleanse your sins. He wants to reconcile you to God. He wants to deliver you from the chains of sin and the chains and slavery of Satan. He wants to give you that guarantee of heaven. He wants to place within you eternal life right now. And there he is, he stands before you then. And you can either say yes and receive him by faith, or you can say no and reject him. And go on to live in your sins, and to die in your sins, and to be lost in your sins forever. Our Father, we again just appeal to thee tonight. Appeal to thee, O God, on the basis of thine own character. Because thou hast taught us in thy word that thou art a God that is rich in mercy. Thou hast taught us that thou art a God that is willing to pardon. Thou art a God of grace. Thou art a God of full and free salvation. And O God, on the basis of all that thou art, we come to thee now. And we plead with thee to reveal thyself afresh. The great God of salvation, by reaching out, O God, and touching people's hearts, stirring them up, O God, within their spirits, and just bringing them to that point right now when they say yes to the Lord Jesus, when they say no to the world, when they say no to their sin, when they say no to self, but by faith they receive the Lord Jesus, acknowledging him as Lord and Master in their lives. Oh God, do a mighty work tonight for thy glory. That is what we're asking you to do. That's what we're expecting of you. And God, we'll be careful just to bow low in thy presence, just to give thee all the praise and to give thee all the glory. And God, thou hast made provision for the salvation of every sinner that's in this hall. Thou hast made provision for the salvation of every sinner, and you come up
and every sinner or God across the broad acres of the world. Provision has been made for the salvation of all in the atoning death of the Lord Jesus at the cross. We thank you, God, for the eternal value of the blood that He shed. And God, we ask that we look again upon Thy Son. We ask, O God, that we consider again the depths of His passion at Calvary, the fullness and perfection of His work at the cross, and for His glory, we're asking Thee tonight, O God, to reveal Thine arm of salvation and to save every presently lost soul that's sitting in this room. We ask it, O God, and expect it in Jesus' name. Now, just a closing hymn is hymn number 231. Hymn number 231. We'll just sing the first and last verses of this hymn, and we'll just remain seated while we sing it, and after we've done so, the meeting is over. But we just thank you again for coming. There is literature available at the back, and if you want that literature, a copy of that literature, then just please take it or ask me for it. And if you want to speak to us about these things, then I'm available to speak to you either here or at your home. But you know, the big thing is that you don't need a preacher tonight. You need a saviour. And there is only one Saviour, and that is the Lord Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, says the Bible. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. If we're going to escape hell, we must be saved. If we're going to be in heaven, we must be saved. If we're going to break the chains of sin that binds us, we must be saved. Salvation's in the Lord Jesus. It's the Saviour you need. And He's available. But if you want to discuss anything with us, and I'm available, but just don't leave this meeting behind. Don't leave this meeting unsafe. Don't leave this meeting still in your sins. Don't leave this meeting still on the road to hell. When salvation is just within your grasp, the Saviour draws near and He invites you to receive Him into your heart and life. He invites you to acknowledge Him tonight as your Saviour and Lord. Don't leave the meeting without Christ. We'll keep it. 231, the first and last verses, and after that the meeting's finished.